absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. 10 a.m. on the East Coast at Eastern Standard Time. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. Number calling is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to me. We're listening to some Cool on the Gang, and I'll be right back.
How you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
Well, I heard all the people saying,
get down on it,
come on in.
There you go. I can't hear you, Mr. Taylor. Not at all. I don't know.
Where
you got your mic off of. There you go. Hello.
And I was talking about Mr. Vic Gardner and our founding guy who is on the line with the Fantasy Sports Book Casino. I always do this. I always screw this up. I don't know why. I've been saying it for so long. I know what it says. It's the Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com hotline where players win and winners play. Okay? And I want to welcome Mr. Vic Gardner in here. We were talking originally, and I did it again, but I have a habit of doing that. Whatever. Anyway, Mr. Vic, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. JKT and Money, you always screwing up the first 10 minutes of the show. I had to call and see for myself. Had to call and see. What's going on, man?
Not much. Well, I was talking about Shabron and hopefully that he'd gotten himself together over the next few days. And hopefully the air conditioning's working and all 10 players that are starters start. And the theme of this show, because of what I was playing, was the Cool and the Gang get down on it. And part of it is what's saying is, are you going to stand against the wall or are you going to get on the dance floor? And what I'm saying is, LeBron, are you going to stay on the bench or are you going to get on the basketball floor when it's crunch time? And are you going to perform for your team or are you going to claim, oh, I've fallen and I can't get up? Your thoughts?
Well, I'll say this.
I'm saying this all in jest, people.
I know. But here's the thing, though. You know, you and my cousin, y'all dogging me out because I said he isn't the best player. He doesn't have the work ethic. He doesn't have this. Because I really remember these conversations we had. But now, y'all are like, oh, Shabron, listen, Listen, the guy's going to come out today along with the rest of his teammates, and he's going to put on a show. Whether the Heat win or not, I don't know. But I believe that he is going to take all of this negativity and just blow it back in their face. I see him going for a good 40. The problem is he going to settle for jump shot or is he going to go inside? I mean, if he goes inside, they have nobody that can stop him. If they double team him, he can pass out of it. But I think that he's going to, you know, get down on it, as you were saying, and do some things that really will benefit the team. However, the Heat have an issue of coming out really slow the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not sure if it's going to be a full game for him or if it's going to be a second half game. You know how I can get maybe 5-10 points in the first half but then explode for 30 in the
mm-hmm.
second half. That's where I see it going. After these series, after this Donald Sterling mess gets resolved, I'm boycotting all of basketball, so it doesn't matter to me anymore.
Well, let me put it this way. On the note that you talked about LeBron going off and scoring, regardless of whether it's in the first half or second half of the game, scoring a lot of points, one thing that Greg Popovich preaches to his Spurs is to play defense without fouling. And they're one of the best teams in the league at doing that. Miami shot just 11 free throws in game one. The fewest amount of free throws attempts by a team in game one in 50 years. In 50 years. In last year's final, the Heat shot a combined 118 free throws, which was the fewest ever in a seven-game series. Now, LeBron gets a lot of his points off of foul shots. Not all of them, but he gets a lot of his points off of foul shots. San Antonio committed the fewest fouls in a seven-game series during last year's finals. Only once in the past 10 seasons have the Spurs ranked lower than 5 in fewest fouls committed or 6th in most free throws allowed. So one of the big things that even they play good team defense, and they don't commit fouls and give teams easy shots at the foul line. So what happened last year, I think, was an anomaly. I really believe that. The things that happened, the freaky things that happened, in my opinion, helped Miami to win that championship. They got one more time against Miami again this year. In this series, and I truly believe that the Miami Heat, including LeBron, are going to come out and try to make a point, try to make a statement. But one of the best defensive teams in the NBA and not committing fouls is the San Antonio Spurs. And I think once they go back to Miami, they're going to be up 2-0. I think it wouldn't have made a difference whether LeBron was in the game or not. I still think they would have won that game, maybe not as the margin they won it, but I still think they would have won the game. They learned a lot, in my opinion, from what happened last year. I mean, they're a veteran team, but they're always learning, and Pop always keeps them on their toes and always has them in a learning mode versus not being able to show them something new since he's been there so long. And plus they have the main guy who's bought in the Pop, who has everybody on the same page, which I'm talking Tim Duncan. So I truly believe, I don't care what Miami comes out with tonight, after the timer hits 4 zeros at the end of the game, I think San Antonio, again, will be on top. Maybe it's probably a closer game because LeBron's in there, if he's able to sustain it, because it's hard. It's hard. Once you start cramping up if you've ever been in that situation where you've and I'm pretty sure you may have had experienced that being in the military and being in different environments, that in an extremely heat environment, it's true, it's you have to replenish your fluids constantly, even more so in that environment. But it takes a while, not 2 or 3 days, to get over something like that. I know he's been resting. I know they've been putting a lot of fluids in his body. But when he's getting to that extreme situation where he's starting to sweat, even though he's hydrating, he's still starting to sweat. His body's going to be remembering what happened to him a couple of days ago, and it may revert right back to that. Your thoughts, and I'm gonna bring your cousin in.
Okay. I'll say this, JT, that we said that the Spurs were going to win the series. We didn't say how.
Mm-hmm.
We just said they were. And I'm going to stick to that. Here's a telltale sign of how much better the Spurs actually are. They had 20-plus turnovers in that game, and they still won by 15. There's a difference between, as I said yesterday, a team that is composed of, you know, technical players or fundamental playing basketball players versus this one-on-one clear-out stuff. I don't care how great you are. I really don't. If your team does not help you, you will never win on a consistent basis. Again, as I said yesterday, LeBron goes out. Got it. He misses the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game. Dwayne Wade tried to do something. Mario Chalmers in foul trouble. Chris Bosh not hitting anything. There isn't a set of players or plays that they run for anybody else other than, I guess, those big three, because it's running gun. If you notice in the game on Thursday, when the game was slowed down, half court, the Spurs dominated. Only when they went up-tempo did the Heat, come back in the game. That's because they were running. There weren't plays. They were running. So whether the AC goes out or the Heat comes on or whatever the case may be, LeBron cannot win this by himself. Dwayne Wade cannot win this by himself. Chris Bosh can't either. It's going to take 5 men plus 2 or 3 people off the bench to win this game and win this series. If that doesn't materialize, it's going to be a short series for the Heat. That's all.
Okay, well, I have another call on our line, and we all, both know who it is. It happens to be Macau. Macau, you've been listening to the conversation, I imagine. We are, again, talking about the San Antonio Spurs. Can you continue to talk of the late part of yesterday's show about the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat? Supposedly LeBron, been taking a lot of fluids, I think he took a few IVs after the game, maybe taking IVs on Friday, and it's been steadily getting a lot of fluids yesterday to play the game tonight in San Antonio. I also was saying that that the chance of him having another episode like that is pretty great, because he's putting himself in that extreme environment again of playing the game. And even though he does hydrate at timeouts and at halftime, your body still is depleted of fluids, and he may revert back, or his body may revert back to that, close to that same state. Your thoughts on what you think may happen, not just with LeBron, but with the game in San Antonio.
I honestly don't know what's going to happen, but I will say this. You know, the young man is a freak. The young man is should be very much respected. I don't understand what's going on with all this LeBron hate. I mean, it's really sickening. It really is. People just hate him for, like really ridiculous reasons. But I think if for the Heat to win, like I believe they will, they're going to have to take either this game or game five. They don't take this game or game five, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. But I don't think it's going to be some kind of sweep. San Antonio will not be going to Miami and doing the stuff that they did. And that game was very, very close. I don't know what game my highly esteemed cousin was watching. But that was like a 4 to 5 point game before LeBron caught those cramps. So, I mean, they won. San Antonio won, and I'm not taking anything from them. But you can't take anything away from the Heat. That's just ridiculous. These two teams are very, very evenly matched with only one sleight of hand. There is more talent on the Eastern Conference side. Way more talent. You know, it's just San Antonio, I definitely agree. They play fundamental. They play basketball the way basketball should be played. Absolutely. But to sit there and say that, but to sit there and believe that there's not more talent on the other side is just crazy. When those guys pull their team together and then play the way they're supposed to play, they're very formidable. And they're very formidable for the Spurs. And, you know, you will hear, I hear every excuse in the book, you know, this one did this or this one did that, just like they did last year. It was so many excuses. And I almost wanted to get some tissue, but I just didn't say anything. And I believe it's going to happen again. It's going to hurt y'all feelings again.
Well, let me ask you something here. You alluded that the – well, not alluded. You said that the Miami Heat had better talent. Now, you saying that they – and because I want to make this clear so everybody is able to understand what you're saying. You say the Miami Heat has better individual talent, but the San Antonio Heat are a better team. Am I right in saying that?
I said that, yeah, they have – Miami has more talent because they have, by virtue of having LeBron – and Wade and Bosh, LeBron is the best player in the world. Period. And you have that key, and then I broke this down to you before we got into the series. This is going to come down to coaching. That last game, it came down to LeBron getting hurt. It really did. Those cramps. But when they're all healthy and everybody's playing, it's going to come down to coaching. It's really going to come down. It didn't get there. It didn't get there this time because LeBron was out, you know, and quiet as kept, Spoelstra is a bad dude, man. He out-coached Pop last year. He out-coached him last year, and he's going to do it again because it was no fluke.
Oh, okay, so, all right. Well, Vic, do you have anything to say about what your cousins just alluded to?
I disagree with you. My stance is that you got a team of athletes that are getting paid tons of money. Yes, the Eastern Conference has a great deal of individual talent, but that goes back to my point that until every player on that squad, or at least the starting five and a couple of bench players can learn to play fundamental basketball together, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be very difficult. Now, as far as the game being close, maybe after, like, halftime it got close, But for the first half, I think it was dominated pretty much by San Antonio. Then the fourth quarter was dominated by San Antonio. They turned the ball over 24, 25 times, and they won by 15. I don't see too many close games, you know, ending that way. If it's close, it's going to be close. Folks are going to, you know, find a way to either keep it close or win without their star player. They might not be the most dominant team on the court without without LeBron, but you still have two bona fide stars. And you have a couple of great role players. You got some rebounders in Shane Battier. Rashad Lewis is starting to hit stuff now. You got some options, but you just see everybody standing around or clearing out so that, you know, a guy can go one-on-one. That's not going to win. It's not, especially if Pop is saying, that he's going to make sure they play better defense without fouling. It's going to be pretty tough on these guys.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, because I know McCallum probably wants to jump in here. But let me play devil's advocate here. They've won two back-to-back championships, and one of them was against San Antonio playing this type of ball, playing this one-on-one type of ball with the same players, same cast of characters as they've had for the last two championships. And a majority of this team has been together for the last four championships. Championship runs, the last two being them winning it. So I don't know if their style of play, you're saying that it doesn't work when it has worked for the like four straight championship appearances and two last them winning that. What do you say to that?
Well, I'll say this to that. And again, you guys brought it up earlier and said it earlier. Did they ever play the same team in the championship back-to-back? No, not until now. Popovich learned from those mistakes of last year. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, those guys learned from their mistakes last year. So, yes, they went up against various teams and they won. And, you know, LeBron got the MVP and all this other stuff. But when you're playing a new opponent that doesn't, you know, you haven't played them in that situation before, okay, some things might be a little different. But when you have a known quantity, you have somewhat of a good idea of what's going to happen. So you can game plan better. You know, I'm not saying that the Spurs are world beaters. By far, they're not. But what I am saying is that the Spurs are better prepared to defeat this team. And, you know, the individual stuff, it's going to get you something. It's going to get you something. Will it get you everything you need to succeed? I don't think so. But that's only my opinion.
Okay.
Can I
get before I let McCallum in, one little tidbit that I want to put in there. Now you said they won by 15, but half of that fourth quarter, for the most part, LeBron was in and out of the lineup, and with 5 minutes left or 4 or 5 minutes left, he was completely out of the lineup. So half of that quarter, it was inconsistent LeBron because of the things he was going through with cramping. Go ahead, McCallum.
That's fine.
No, well, what I was going to say was I don't remember LeBron hitting, you know, game-winning shots last year. I distinctly remember him kicking out, and I remember him trying to do one-on-one, and he was not able to do it last year. So, you know, the guys around him kind of stepped up, you know. And then it was a whole bunch of talk, you know, earlier in the playoffs when LeBron was kicking out the different – you know, kicking out the different players and whatnot and getting them involved and stuff like that. You know, when everyone was saying he should have went to the rack or whatever. So it's like just like LeBron hate. It's just like very hypocritical, you know. Now we're going to talk about the one-on-one ball now, you know. And, you know, if they win the game, if they win the game tonight with LeBron kicking out, it'd be like, oh, LeBron doesn't have a killer instinct. I mean, it's just it, we just go round and round and round with this nonsense. And I am not a LeBron fan. Can I just put that out there? I'm a Kobe guy, for real, you know. But to sit there and say that this team is better prepared to beat the Heat, I get where you're coming from with that, but you still got to knock out the champ. You know what I mean? The champ is not out. We got one game down, and no, you don't think that they're gonna adjust? That's what they've been doing all season long, all playoffs long. They've been adjusting and coming back, adjusting and coming back, and doing something and doing things differently. You know, I would even go ahead and argue to say that if the Spurs continue to turn over the ball like they did, the Heat will pounce on that. They weren't able to pounce on it, you know, the other night. But they better stop that. They better stop that.
Okay.
Again, I mean, Jerry, I know you want to go to a new topic, so I'll leave it alone. After
no, go ahead, go ahead.
But
we can go as long as we're going to go, because I want to talk about this in length. So go ahead.
No, I was just getting to the point that, you know, you said that the last 5 minutes he wasn't there. Got it. That's my point. Whether, you know, he's kicking it out at the end of the game to Bosh or somebody else to score the points to win the game, nobody else was there to step up and keep it close. That is
okay.
Exactly the point.
Okay, so if Tony
whether
Fox
he's on the court or not.
So if Tony Parker's ankles go out and then the Heat take a commanding lead and just beat the Spurs, what's going to be said then?
I already said that I think the Heat are going to win today. I already told you, you didn't hear me say that Thursday. I said it yesterday. I said it today. I said I think the Heat are going to come out and blow up. I said I think LeBron's going to drop about 40. Now, whether they win the game or not, I can't guarantee it. But they're going to come out hot. They're going to come out on
you don't
fire
want them to win
this. Tired of that.
But Vic, you don't want if you think the Spurs are going to win the series, you don't want the Heat to win this game. The Heat win this game, you could just about wrap this series up.
I disagree. Why
do you say that, Mikal?
Spurs are not going to win in Miami.
Why? I mean, why? What's stopping them from winning in Miami?
They're not going to win in Miami because Miami's already shown you that they know what they need to do. You know what I mean? They've shown it to you so many different ways and so many times. The last series in Indiana, when they took Indiana in that second game, it was a wrap. Same thing with the Spurs. They got to take one of these games or game five. They don't take this game or game five, Spurs should win. Spurs have to win this game. They got to keep home court because they're not going to Miami and win it. Nathan.
Really?
Really?
I mean, I think they only lost like 20 games all season or something like that. So I think they know how to win on the road. We'll see. I mean, the series is a 4 out of 7 series for a reason. It's going to be tough to win in Miami. But I think they'll be able to pull one or maybe even two. We'll see. I mean, the way the series goes is 2-2, 1-1-1. So they're going to have to win one in Miami if they don't do it, if they don't want
to
take it to a 7-game series. That's what I'm saying. If they don't want to take it to a 7-game series, they're going to have to win one there.
They're going to have to go 7 for them to win it. They're going to have to go 7 for them to win it. It's going to have to go 7. And it's going to have to end Antonio in order for them to win it. They're going to have the whole court. And they know this. They know that they're going to come – They're going to come out, if they are prepared, as you say they are, they're going to come out ready to swing and swing back. They're not going to let this go down. I don't got San Antonio going out easy. I really don't see that happening. I see them swinging. This is going to be a very good game tonight. This is going to be a real good game tonight. But if they mess around and drop this game, yeah, you can just go ahead and chalk that up.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to this. And I'm going to stay on this because not on this subject, but the next subject that I'm going to bring out, because now I saw a film clip, a short video on the coach denying the allegations. So it's going to be very interesting when Keith McCants, who was told outside the lines that he was steered to classes, that Roy Williams knew about it. He informed him of his academic troubles in the year 2004-2005, and that Roy Williams, face-to-face in the conversation, supposedly said that we're going to be able to change the class in the summer and swap it out with a class that you failed so the GPA could reflect that you're in good standing. And then I got a short clip that I think it was done yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that ESPN interviewed Roy Williams about a minute and a half. I'm going to play the clip, and we can talk about who's telling the truth here.
What was your initial reaction to Rashad McCants' allegation?
Oh, almost shock, a little disbelief. And again, I felt like that in several ways my integrity was being attacked, and that bothered me. I'm human.
Rashad McCants alleged that tutors wrote papers for him. Your response to that?
I have no idea. I don't sit in the classroom. I don't turn in their papers. But I find that impossible for me to believe.
Rashad McCants alleged that after failing two courses, one in math, one in psychology, that he had a meeting with you in your office regarding his academic performance. Do you recall such a meeting?
I do not recall such a meeting. If a player did poorly, I would think that I would have a meeting. If a player did great, I would say great job. But one thing that was said that I told him something about swapping out a course. I don't have any idea what swapping out would be. That's not in my vocabulary.
If Rashad McCants were sitting opposite you right now, what do you think he would say?
I have no idea. I know one of them would eventually be why, but I don't have any idea, Jay. It's been a tough time.
All right, Mikal, your thoughts. That's Roy Williams.
He need to stop playing, man. He need to stop playing. Stop playing, man. He need to stop playing. I mean, you know, I respect Roy Williams and all that, but he need to stop that playing, man. That type of stuff been going on in the college ranks for a real long time. I do agree with him. He does not strike me as the type of feller that would say swap, but you know, he worked that out. He manipulated that out for the best outcome. McCants, on the other hand, you know, a lot of these cats, they want to come, you know, blame everybody else but themselves for the situations that they get themselves in. So, I mean, I don't know how much of that he's reaching, but, you know, the academic part, I could definitely agree with that. But the whole stuff about him damaging him into the NBA and stuff, nah, Slim, that's on you. That's on you. I ain't feeling that. But what I'm confused about is what is McCants coming out saying all this junk right now for? I mean, what is the purpose? mean, dude, you sounded like a little crying diva or something. Might get this dude some tissue.
Victor.
As I said yesterday, this is something that goes on in college all over. It's followed Calipari everywhere he's gone. You brought up my guy from Tennessee that's now the coach at Auburn.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, Mr. Perlman. You look at the history of Roy Williams back at Kansas. You never heard anything like that before, right? Maybe because he had a better handle on it. Maybe because the market isn't that big. Maybe because the school isn't as historic as UNC.
Kansas basketball? Are you kidding me?
I'm talking. No, no, no. Not basketball. The school.
Okay.
Not just basketball. Just the school. Like UNC is a very well-renowned school. Kansas is as well, but not as much so as UNC. But when you look at McCants, and I said it yesterday, this happened 10 years ago. He busted out of the NBA. He's probably in need of money, publicity. So people are going to pay him a little bit of change to get his story. And in the interim, as I said yesterday, he is throwing those people under the bus that actually helped him get all that information and move in those directions towards the NBA. Whether or not the allegations are true, whether or not they're false, it's not for me to say. But when you go on TV and you're giving that interview, and your vocabulary is less than someone that might have a college education, it's more like somebody that's still in high school, that tells me something. You're a second, third-year college student athlete, and yet you haven't learned how things work with the media. You haven't learned how to communicate. Fake the funk or something. Take a communication course, public speaking. If you just pass that one, you'll sound a lot better than most of these cats do. So it's not hard for me to believe that these athletes have been walked through the system. I gave you a story yesterday about knowing how that went down. But if they're going to reform basketball on the college level or college sports, then, you know, make the GPA requirement higher. You know, enforce that these kids, you know, you get their schedule. If they have to declare some type of major after the first year anyway. I think it's after the sophomore year you got to declare a major. Make these cats declare a major freshman, sophomore year. Make them do it. And then you scope out their daggone classes, and if a teacher is influenced by the coach or anybody in the athletic department, investigate them, because the AD or the instructor has to agree to make the change. It's just not Roy. It's just not the player. It's the instructor and the institution. All of it.
Yeah, but a lot of institutions, just like UNC, get the athletic department, whether and whatever sport is the moneymaker for that school.
Oh yeah,
has a lot of power. The basketball coach, even though the AD is over the basketball coach or the football coach, that football coach or basketball coach wields a lot of power because of the type of revenue he brings in. So to say what you just said, it sounds nice. It sounds nice, but in reality, that's not the case, because if you're a successful program in basketball or football, I'm just picking those two out. It could be baseball, or it could be anything other than that. But those are really the two main sports in college athletics that generate a lot of money. Whatever the coach wants, and he, because he's so successful, he's going to get. To protect his players and make sure he has the best players either on the court or on the field so he can still continue to be successful and also to bring in that do re mi.
Oh, of course. That's what I said yesterday when you asked me why did Auburn get Pearlman for that exact same reason. Because 5-10 years from now, Auburn would have spent or gained so much money from what Pearlman's going to bring to the fold, they don't care about anything else. It's the bottom line. Pearlman will get me more money from different places, and 7 to 10 years down the road when they do an investigation, I would have already took that money, reinvested it, and rebuilt my school. So that's why these colleges take the risk on coaches like him and others. That's what it is.
Well, so I listened to you. I listened to McCown. Now, what's the difference and maybe it's a wrong example, but I'm going to put this out here. What's the difference in an athlete blowing a whistle on a program, maybe the Fab Five without the Chris Webber, or maybe the Reggie Bush incident with the USC, and both those found to be truthful, or even the and I can't think of his name. I've been trying to think of his name ever since this conversation started. The whistleblower on the steroids. What was his name?
Jose Canseco.
When everybody lambasted him and told him that he was sour grapes and blah, 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 and which turns out to one of the biggest stories in Major League Baseball history. I'm going to go to McCown, and I'm going to go to, and I'm playing devil's advocate here because I brought those three guys up, and three incidences up, to get your opinion on what's the difference between that and what Rashad McCants is doing. McCown first and then Victor.
This country, our society is fascinated with building people up and turning people down. None of that is more evident than in when you're talking about the college athlete, you know, and also NFL players. You know, every time something happens, you know, with an athlete or NFL player, we're quick to take and analyze what that person should or shouldn't be doing, or you know, saying you know, every type of thing to take the person down instead of saying what needs to be said to take down the entire institution that brought this player about, you know. I don't like it. I try to be judicious with it, you know, and go on both sides. I really don't persecute the athlete as so much because I know that they have, you know, they have a talent. And they are utilizing that talent within this wilderness that gets them caught up in a whole lot of ass, you know. So with McCants, right? I don't think he's so much blowing the whistle. I mean, it's you know, it's known. It's just what are we gonna do about it? We keep coming back to the table and asking the same thing and talking about the same thing over and over and over again. Keep saying, and I've been saying it on this show forever, the NCAA are crooks, and it needs to be revamped from the bottom to the top, period, point blank. You know, McCants, he could be he could be halfway right or halfway wrong. It still don't matter. I mean, what is it going to take? What is it going to take before, you know, they revamp this, before we look at this with different eyes? Because we keep coming back to the same thing. We've had player after player after player after player after player after player. Now you got these youngins, you know, coming together talking about a union. Okay, now you're starting to see a little bit of progress. But, you know, the pushback from the NCAA and from a whole lot of other people is, why are they getting paid? Why should they get paid? Or why should they unionize? Oh, my goodness. Because change needs to happen. This business model, this crook-based business model cannot succeed any longer. Not in this atmosphere. I don't see how they can do it. But they've been holding on. They've been holding on real good.
Victor.
I don't like the system. I don't like any of this. You know, what makes the difference between a player blowing a whistle versus an administrator versus a coach? The player feels as though they're going to make money once they leave the quote-unquote amateur ranks and become a professional. So they do what's in their best interest, which is go along with it. And again, I'm going back to McCants. I get drafted with number 14 overall in the NBA draft. I'm going to be paid because first-round picks in the NBA are guaranteed money. Might not be, you know, top lottery money, but it's going to be more money than I had going to that college. So I play along with the system. Now, I've made it to the league. I'm successful to an extent, but I'm not dominant. So now I'm just another role player making X amount of dollars trying to get by. Oops, I get cut because somebody younger, faster, and better comes into the league. This goes back to what I said yesterday, Jerry, about, you know, Donald Sterling and owners and stuff like that. Players are commodities. They are they're recyclable items. They're cans. I will get the best soda I can out of you. Then, once you're no longer any good to me, I'm going to recycle you and try to get as much money as I can for you before I move on to the next can of soda. Players, they learn this too damn late. They learn it way too late. And they allow the abilities to get by or skate by in college override their long-term thought process. They really do. Because a lot of people in this world live in the here and now. They don't think about 3-4 years down the road, 4-5 mm-hmm. years down the road. They want to get satisfaction now. Okay, you get your satisfaction now, but when that's gone, what are you left with? Nothing. Derek Jeter never went to college. He's played 20-some-odd years in the big leagues. The Yankees have to still pay for him to get his college degree. I'm not going to say he never went to college. He's had some college. I think he finished his freshman year. But at the age of 40, he's going to go back and get his degree. Because he was one of the fortunate ones. There aren't that many like that. There aren't that many that are smart enough, like Ray Allen, to get a degree in sports law and negotiate his own contracts, cutting out the middleman. You don't have too many athletes like that, and that's part of the problem. I don't have a problem with this guy blowing the whistle, but I have a problem with him not taking full advantage of the things he was given instead of throwing the people under the bus that gave it to them. Expose
well,
it.
Well, let me do this. Let me do this now. Like I said, I'm coming back to what I said. What's the difference between the other set of circumstances? Reggie Bush, he's still playing in the league. He's fairly successful. Jose Canseco was successful, but he fell on hard times when he came out and essentially blew the lid off the Major League Baseball. The Fab Five, except for Chris Webber. Oh my God, what's the guy's name who was on ESPN?
Jalen Rose.
Jalen Rose. Essentially, the other guys are not as successful as those two guys are because they're on TV. These other guys, I don't think they're as successful. And they admitted to wrongdoing, except for Chris Webber, and he's still on TV. In Michigan, now with Rashad McCants and all these guys weren't. Reggie Bush was at USC, the Fab Five was at Michigan, and Jose Canseco was with the Major League Baseball, and all these guys were high profile players. Or in high-profile programs, and along with Rashad McCants. So, I'm going back again. Why shouldn't those guys be held to the same type of standards? Especially Jose Canseco, who most people know he did this because he fell on hard times. He couldn't play baseball anymore, and he really didn't have any other skill. But he came out with the information that blew the lid off of Major League Baseball. And why land-base this guy? I don't know how this story came about. I don't know if he initiated or someone, investigative reporter, decided to go this route. I'm not sure about that. Maybe one of you guys know about that. But the story's out there now. And what I'm saying is those other situations, they all turn out to be true. Even though some people said they weren't true at one time, even including the coaches, they all turn out to be true. What's the difference in this situation? Because it's Rashad McCants, because he wasn't a successful player, because this is payback or some way to keep him in the spotlight to make some money. Well, I don't see what the point is here. In my opinion, it's the same type of situation. Talk to me.
It's Carolina. It's North Carolina. That's why. It's North Carolina.
Okay.
It's North Carolina. It's Tobacco Road. That's why.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this guy is really taking a shot at job like basketball royalty. You know what I mean? That's what.
Okay. Go ahead, Macau.
That's the difference here. That's why I guess the story is taking, got a little bit of wings or whatever. But who knows where these rabbit holes gonna go? But me personally, I don't care. I'm snoozing. I'm going to sleep. My reason is because it's the same old thing, man. You know, if I want to turn on ESPN and listen to everybody, just take shots at this young man like they will and like they always do. You know what I'm saying? I'll watch it, but I don't want to hear that. What I want to see is people taking shots at the NCAA and taking shots at this nonsense because, other than that, you just put me to sleep. You know what I mean? Because I've heard every excuse from every player on the plane. I have. I've heard every rationalization for every player on the planet for what the things that they've done. Every one of them. But I have yet to hear anything progressive about changing this nonsense. I mean, because we can go into the thousands of players that we can point out. You know what
right.
I'm saying? We can,
right.
we can go all the way through North Carolina history. We can even take the you know, the gold standard, the illustrious Mr. Jordan. We can take him to task. You know what
right.
I'm saying? But what has remained the same? What is the constant? What is the constant? The NCAA, the system, how they make money. And let me tell you something. As a businessman, I applaud the NCAA because as a businessman, the first thing I'm going to do is protect my money. And they protect their money. And you know what? It sickens me to hear like when media personalities taking go after the athletes. I mean that really sickens me because you're doing the legwork for the NCAA. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how the system keeps going on and on. But until you know we get you know a unified voice and stuff, this stuff is never going to change. We're going to have a McCants this month, next month, and the month after, man. They all going to be coming out. And we just going to be scrolling through it on our phone, reading the articles, passing up. Oh, did he beat the Spurs? Oh, okay.
this is what I was trying to get for you guys, that it's college basketball royalty, for one.
Right.
And the fact
yeah.
is that is it too big and too broken that it's unfixable, or what?
Nah, man, it's very much fixable. This is very fixable. You know, they need to stop with these antiquated rules that they have. You know what I'm saying? That enriches them and keeps everybody else poor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not gonna. That model is just not going to work any longer. I mean, it's just not going to work. I don't see how they're going to be able to survive with this. They're going to have to give in to something on that union. They're going to have to. But these youngers are going to have to get the balls in them to do it. You know what I'm saying? You can't be waiting around until the whole world says it's okay for you to go do it. Like the NBA and Donald Sterling, you know, how they had to wait, how everybody had to wait to see if it was okay to call him a racist, you know what I'm saying? But people that was calling him racist years and years ago, you know what I'm saying, they were just looking at them like they crazy. And just like today, I'm saying that the NCAA are crooks, criminals, and the whole thing needs to be destroyed and rebuilt, you know what I'm saying? You can look at me like I'm crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at.
Victor.
Of course, I think that the onus isn't on this kid to prove, you know, that this stuff goes on, because there's a history of it going on. I don't think that the kid should take any pot shots in the media for it. Will he? Probably so. But some people, just like in the Canseco case, they're going to say, well, this is a troubled kid, da-da-da-da-da. But once stuff comes out and it's fleshed out, the truth will be known. And then it's going to be like, oh, okay, well, he started it, and kudos to him. But now that we know that this is a epidemic, it's something that's spreading, or it's been there, what are we going to do to fix it? That's when you'll see, you know, the stuff come out and say, okay, well, here's the results. What are we going to do to stop it from happening again? Jerry Sandusky, here are the results. What is Penn State doing to stop that from ever happening again at Penn State? Or what is any other, you know, college organization doing to stop that type of stuff from ever happening again? It's not much. It's not much, and that's why I said the administrators, the AD, the teachers, the coaches, all these folks, you know, they need to be examined.
Well,
the kid... He took what he had given to him. He did what he could. I just think he could have done more. But I'm not going to lambaste him for exposing the truth if it is, in fact, the truth.
Well, in my opinion, and I think you guys agree with the sentiment, the NCAA is very archaic. and very slow in moving to change. I think in the recent months and in recent years that they're being exposed more and more as what McHale saying as criminals and crooks, and that grudgingly and tugging hard at the strings to keep what they have, they're being pulled to make some changes, even though it's going to probably be a slow process. Because it's a good old boys network, we all know that in the in the NCAA, and they like to keep things in the good old boys network as long as they can. I think eventually it's going to change, but it's going to be a slow and painful process for the NCAA to do so, because they're used to making a lot of money and wielding a lot of power without any checks and balances for them to follow. All right, you guys, we come to the end of the show. In fact, we went over a little bit, which is fine. As we do on every show, we're going to go around the horn, give your last finishing thoughts before we get the heck out of here. Enjoy this fine summer, not summer day, but spring day for the rest of the day or whatever. Talk to me, Victor, and now go to McHale.
Well, you know, I won't be able to enjoy this fine summer day because I'm out here doing what I do. But,
me training.
Shut up. That's why you're retired now. But
that's a fact, Jack.
Anyway, the bottom line is this. There are several situations, including Donald Sterling, including LeBron James, this McCant issue that caused issues within the sports community. I'm not saying it needs to be reformed. I'm not saying it needs to be regulated or whatever. What I'm saying is, if the bottom line is money, and money is going to dictate how everything goes, then hell, keep your money, people. Don't go to these games. The rumor is, and I don't know how strong it is, but I heard about it and I read a little bit about it, that the NBA made a deal with Donald Sterling that he would not have to apologize. He could remain, he could retain 10% of the team once the sale goes through. He is not going to have to pay the $2.5 million fine, and the NBA has to publicly apologize to him. Now, this is true. If this is true, this should be a wake-up call to every athlete that plays in the NBA. I'm not saying all of them can afford to quit, but you can't sell a product if nobody's there, if you don't have the clients or the product to give to the client. Will the LeBron James, will the Carmelo Anthony's, will the big ticket item players step up and step off and become the activists that they can and should be? Lost are the days of having the athlete as the role model socially and economically. Lost are the singers, the writers, the actors that will step up for an injustice to people because everybody's worried about their pocketbook. I got it. But in order to make change, if these young kids are going to idolize Jay-Z, they're going to idolize LeBron James, cool, do it. But these people, these type of people need to reciprocate and pull out when they see a wrongdoing to their people or to the people. I'm calling for a boycott of the entire NBA. If this happens, I am dead serious. I won't watch any game. I'll encourage people to bet on them, but I won't watch any if this is true. So America, Europe, whoever's listening to this broadcast, if this happens, prove it with your dollars. Prove it by pulling out of the NBA, just like Staples did at the Staples Center. That's all I got, JT.
Okay. Mikal.
Man, these girls ain't loyal. Hey, look. Hey, Vic. They're not going to do anything. They ain't going to do nothing. The LeBrons and all of them, they're not going to do anything. They had to get an okay to talk about this. You know what I mean? They all had to get an okay to jump in on this. So I don't foresee them, you know, I don't foresee them shutting down. They'll take the, if it's 10%, they'll take it. But I wanted to give a shout out to Miguel Cotto on the eve of the Puerto Rican Day Parade down there in up there in New York City. He knocked out Sergio Martinez, dropped him 3-4 times. It wasn't too pretty. I mean, you could pretty much tell that Martinez didn't have his legs up. He ain't had no wheels up under him. But he still dropped him, and he is now the middleweight champion of the world. Shout out to Miguel Cotto, and peace and blessings to everyone.
Okay, before I have Vic get us out of here, I just want you guys to know this, okay? In the 28th round of the Major League Baseball draft, the San Diego Padres selected Johnny Manziel. So, AKA Johnny Football, AKA Johnny Cleveland, AKA Johnny Vegas, is AKA Johnny San Diego. On that note, Vic, talk to me and get us out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the ATM, JTAK Money, proudly presents to you the Master Plan 4. Wow. Really? Just turn the music on?
Oh, what you gonna
do?
I mean, I was doing it, and then you just hit the music.
I thought that you wanted me to do. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's why I stopped, and I blew that. Go ahead.
It's all right. For JTATN Money, myself, and Nikal, you've been listening to the Master Plan. So, ladies and gentlemen, just like Kool and the Gang says, what you going to do? You going to get down on it, and you're going to let it pass you by. We're out.
Oh, what you going to do? You want to get down? Tell me. Oh, what you going to do? Do you want to get down?